Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 27th day of June, Anno Domini 2026. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
Oh, wrong button. Sorry.
He's new to the show.
He's new to the show. Well, last week he kept not coming in next.
Because I'm waiting for Dave to say I'm Dave Enright. So I've said I'm Dave Enright. And I'm trying to monitor the show, but some other audio kept coming through, and I thought it was his board, but no, I'm plugged into my board now. And
at any rate,
start
we
over.
Are Soundbites. Hi there. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 27th day of June, Anno Domini 2026. And you, you deja vu people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Really? And at 6 minutes after the hour,
glad we got that straight.
You're listening to the even longer than usual running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
I just realized with your statement there, the year is now half over?
Yes.
Where the H did it go?
It went away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It went away fast.
Holy macarona.
We're starting to see warranty expirations in 2030 now.
Yeah.
That's too far in the future.
It's way in the future.
3 years now.
When Windows 11 debuted, Microsoft told everybody they only had 1 year to move from Windows 10 to 11. No do-overs, no take-backs. That's it. 1 year. Then you're out in the cold. So you better upgrade or else we mean it. Well, Microsoft blinked. The extended support update program was supposed to end on 12 October 2026. Hard stop date until this week. This week, with little or no fanfare, Microsoft's ESU support page, with hardly a whisper, changed the end of extended updates to October 12th, 2027. The prevalence of Windows across so many devices and form factors has given Microsoft a massive customer base for decades, but it has also stymied the company's efforts to roll out new operating systems. Microsoft famously extended the support window for Windows XP numerous times throughout the 2010s, as it became apparent that millions of PCs would never be updated. Windows 10 isn't quite as entrenched as XP was, but it still has been a slog getting people to upgrade to Windows 11, even nearly 5 years after its release. Yes, Windows 11 has been around for 5 years. Unlike many past Windows updates, Windows 11 requires some users to buy new PCs with specific CPU technologies and a trusted platform module, or TPM. Microsoft was widely criticized for excluding perfectly serviceable PCs, and that's turning into a problem in 2026. The AI-driven shortage of storage and memory has made system upgrades vastly more expensive, potentially slowing upgrades. Some have also avoided Windows 11 due to Microsoft's intense focus on AI features. The result is that Windows 10 remains stubbornly popular. According to StatCounter data, Windows 10 is still running on about 26% of PCs. That means there are still hundreds of millions of active Windows 10 installs, but those machines will be up to date for at least an additional year, at least as far as security updates are concerned, and only security updates. If you're already in the ESU, you're good to go. You get automatically extended. If you're not enrolled, you have to sign in with a Microsoft account and sync your system settings to be eligible for free updates. Otherwise, it costs $30 or 1,000 Microsoft reward points, which tells you just how little a Microsoft reward point is actually worth, to join the program. If you're in the European Union, the EU, the European Economic Union, actually, I think, the EEU, you get it for free. If you're in, The ESU license will work on up to 10 devices, but Microsoft stresses this is for personal use. Businesses have to pay per device for Windows 10 updates, but their program is available through 2028, not yours. But at this rate, Microsoft might be releasing Windows 10 updates even beyond that deadline. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft adds a year to Win 10 ESU. And your choices are, I knew it, still love 10, dang, I upgraded, and Win what now? So far, we have 25 votes, and Win what now is comfortably in the lead with just over half the votes. Followed, I knew it and still love 10 are even, with dang, I upgraded one person. Yeah, I know. And, of course, you can vote in the polls. Very easy. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, and you can vote in the poll. And then if you have any more to say about that or dang near any subject under the sun, give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 800-790-0415.
This is one time when they really got their head out of their butt.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they did this so early. I was expecting it on October 11th.
Well, so was I. I'm with you.
Well, yeah. Only because right now, I mean, folks are even just having trouble affording groceries along with gas and everything else, let alone paying rent. To sit there and say, oh, now you got to take that machine that's we're running fine right now and doing your banking and online stuff, fine, to go buy this other machine that's more powerful, which really won't do you much more than right. What you're currently doing on this one.
Most people don't need more than a Chromebook.
Yeah.
I find the irony of it fun. So Windows 10 came out in July of 2015, and there were huge uproar. I'm never giving up Windows 7. I love Windows 7. It's never going to happen again. Windows 7 overtook Windows 10 in market share in January of 2018.
Yeah.
Now those same I'm never giving up Windows 7 people are saying I'm never giving up Windows 10.
These are the people who were never giving up XP, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, everybody wanted to give up Vista.
I had a customer come in last week with XP on his machine and needed help.
Yeah, you do need help, sir.
Yes.
Well, again, it's a matter of money. I mean, chips and everything else are more expensive. They're only going to get worse with the shortage of AI. You know, AI chips are being sucked up big time. So chip manufacturers are, you know, having a struggle of a time just getting basic systems up
and RAM. When Microsoft tells you Windows 11 runs better on 8 gig of RAM, and you look at the price of an 8 gig machine versus a 4 gig machine, you think to yourself,
and they really mean 16.
And they really mean 16.
We've said that for years. Double the minimum recommendation. Right.
And that's why we've also, like you've been preaching, getting folks to move over to Linux. Taking that old box, and I mean, all of a sudden now you can have Linux look like your Windows machine and run one hell of a lot faster than it did on Windows.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. One of the things Microsoft has clearly looked at is that over the last year, Windows installs have grown by leaps and bounds, and entirely at the expense of Windows 10. And a little of Windows 11.
Yeah,
right?
Sprinkling.
Windows 10. And Microsoft doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. They'd rather have you stay on Windows 10, exactly right, than move to Linux. And so rather than wait until the 11th of October, which is what I was thinking too, that clearly somebody said, we got to nip this Linux nonsense
in the bud. Yeah. Get ahead of it.
Yeah, and so let's tell them right now they can stay on 10 for another year. What the heck?
Yeah.
I'd rather have them on 10.
Well, they're still going to buy the other, you know, Windows products. You know, Windows 365.
Right. And in another year, that Windows 10 machine is going to be old enough.
Yeah, it's getting on its age.
That they're going to have to buy a new machine, and that's good for
and
us.
Hopefully one. The chip manufacturers have things straightened out. Costs will start coming down within a year, you know, by next year, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't think so. But
well,
yes,
we can. That's all we can do is hope for.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the announcement a couple of weeks ago that we covered that Microsoft Office 2019 which ended support already, will stop working, I think, this July.
Yep.
Because the security certificates are expiring.
Right.
So it's not just that you can use it, but you're not getting updates, which has already been happening. Mm-hmm. It will actually stop working.
Yep.
So if you aren't subscribed to the every month Microsoft Office plan, you're going to have to buy a new subscription. So it's either $100 a year, which isn't too bad because that covers five computers.
Right.
So
it's
if you have several computers in your house, but if it's only one of you, you can get the single perpetual license, they call it, which is $150.
One person.
I think that went up to 180 recently.
Yeah.
But for one person, and then you keep that for the next 5 or 6 years until that one expires.
And that is so stupid.
Perpetual means 5 years,
by
the way.
2024 is the current version, so we're waiting for just when's 2027 coming out, this fall?
You can also move to LibreOffice.
That's yep. You know, that's what I was going to say.
Or you WP know, Office or you
know, one of those others. Me. I mean, the average person, and I'm talking about 75% to 80% of the people out there. What you're using, say Word or spreadsheets, are very simple needs. LibreOffice or Opera, you know, one of the other ones will over, you know, more than be sufficient than continually paying for these other features that, like I say, over 75% of the people won't take advantage of in Office.
Right. Now, there are some people who require Microsoft Office.
Yes.
Because there are add-ons for, like, lawyers.
That's why I said 75%.
Right. And so I get that. Those people, you know, they're stuck.
Mm-hmm. They're legit.
They got to do what they got to do. But for 99% of the people, dear Aunt Edna, thank you for the gift. You can do that with Notepad.
I had a customer this week that the only thing he uses Word for is composing emails.
Well,
you can do that in the email program, you know.
And it's got a word correction and everything else.
Yeah. But you know, if you absolutely need Word, yes. And frankly, LibreOffice, which is what I use a lot, works almost identically. The number of things you have to learn differently are very, very few. Also, you can go to any of the online things like Google Docs.
I use Google Docs and spreadsheets, and doesn't take up any space.
It does now. Unfortunately, that's gone.
But still, no, it's still...
The old stuff doesn't take up space. Right. Anything new you do does take up space. But you still get 15 gig. That's a lot when you're just talking about some documents.
Yeah, I don't produce, at my age, right. I don't produce right. a lot
if
of
you're
stuff.
Doing, if you're doing a lot of presentations or editing photos or that stuff, putting photos into your documents... Then yes, that takes up a lot of space. But just writing text doesn't take up a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
So 15 gig is very generous. But yeah, so you don't, and that's Microsoft's problem. The non-Microsoft products, in particular the free products, have gotten so good that a lot of people are getting the realization that they don't have to stick with Microsoft anymore.
And save some money.
That's one of the reasons. One of the reasons Microsoft is pushing AI so much is that they have to have something new to charge you more for.
Right.
Well, it's again, like Nick has always said, it's not us, it's the shareholders. They want to know what have you done for us lately.
That's right.
Yeah, they added Python and Copilot AI into Excel. What,
right.
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. And so many people, you know, use Python every day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Ed has been waiting patiently in Ithaca, New York. What's up, Ed?
Hi, guys. Thanks for being there. It's always great to be able to call you.
What's
and
up?
I am a member. I want to find out your opinions on the new, cheaper MacBook. I think it's an Air. Let's call it Neo. Or
MacBook
something.
Neo, yep. Slightly less cheaper. We have a story later on about that. Apple just raised their prices this week. See Bernie Sanders yelling at him?
No.
Basically, it's corporate greed. Which it sort of is. It's how can they maintain their 30% margins if they don't raise prices?
Right.
Right.
But it's just stunning.
Their 30, not your 30%.
Yeah,
their 30.
Yeah, we'd lucky if we get 5. So we're wondering if it would have been better to do $100 last year and $100 this year instead of $300 this year on a lot of them.
Right.
So the Neo now starts at $599 for the $699 for the 256 gig version and $799 for the 512 gig version that also has Touch ID. It uses an older iPhone processor, basically the A18. No. Yeah, A18 from iPhone 16. I wish they'd unify those. and so it's perfectly fine for web browsing, for simple documents, a little bit of photo editing in your Photos app. And
what about
the unprecedented demand? Well, unexpected demand. Everyone knew it was going to be a big seller, but apparently it's even bigger than that. Because there's rumors that they ran out of chips and they're going to have to make more.
They were essentially using surplus.
Right, surplus chips that failed the graphics test. It's only got 4 cores in it instead of 5 or whatever it is. But if you think back, the M1 was based on the A15, and the M2 was the A16, and the M3 is the A17. So this is kind of an M4. Where the MacBook Air is in the M5. So the MacBook Air is faster, the MacBook Neo is cheaper, and we're selling a lot of them because of it. And it also comes in pink.
Well, that's important.
Which a lot of people like.
You had a question.
Yeah. Right. So will it handle Apple Music easily?
Sure. That's just streaming from the internet. That's mostly your internet service.
Right. But to load my phone that I use as an iPod for MP3s, you know, I download it and put it on music and then transfer it to the phone.
Yeah, the biggest concern there is your internal storage drive on how much storage. But you can always move your music library to an external drive if you want to. In fact, one of the big YouTubers, iJustine, who's a well-known video editor, someone complained about, well, you can't run Final Cut on the Neo, which is Apple's Hollywood effects video editor. And so she did. She ran Final Cut and Resolve and Logic all at the same time. Worked fine.
Worked fine. Slow, just, but fine.
Yeah. Just not Hollywood fast enough.
Right. But yeah, it will handle Apple Music. And it is not a cut rate Mac.
Yes.
Mac doesn't make cut
correct.
Rate. So it will handle all the standard home things that a Mac is considered to be used for.
It still has a heavy duty aluminum case.
Right.
It's very rigid. A lot of the roundups I see was running. Linus Tech Tips did a big roundup with other PCs and was shocked on how flimsy a $600 PC is with a plastic case. But the MacBook Neo with its aluminum case isn't at all. And if he can lift the lid on the Neo without the bottom part coming up with it too.
I don't know why that's important, but okay, good.
Well,
for
your other hand is holding your beverage, so you got to lift the computer with one hand.
Okay, that is important. All right, that part's important.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I have one other question that's completely irrelevant to the first question.
Okay.
If I go to the web on my computer, it logs my IP address. If I use the guest network on the same router, is the IP address the same or different?
Your local IP address is different, but your public IP address that goes through the router would be the same.
Okay.
And so it's the router's address that the website gets.
Right. Your internet service provider gives you one address.
Okay.
And so that's the one that the internet sees.
Okay. So if I want to, say, track airline fares, and I know if I keep doing it in the same IP address, they may raise the prices or whatever, but if I go to...
Right.
So using a guest router will not circumvent that.
Right.
Because they'll still see the same IP.
A VPN would circumvent that because you can set your endpoint to be some other city.
Right. Or you can use your phone as a hotspot.
Okay.
And then you get the cellular IP address.
And of course, that assumes that you get unlimited data on your cell phone.
Right. Okay. Do you have time for another question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, because it just came to mind from what you were saying. Does private browsing, is that a VPN?
No.
It's what?
Private browsing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Private browsing originally was jokingly called porn mode. It's yeah. so your spouse, in fact, Dean Cain, remember the Dean Cain Microsoft commercials?
Yeah.
It's so your spouse won't see what website you went to.
So nobody else who uses that computer
that same,
will see.
Right. It does nothing to keep you private on the internet, and there was a big lawsuit against Google for that, and so now they have to, when you enter private mode or incognito mode on Chrome, they point out that this doesn't keep you private on the internet.
Right.
It's just against other people using the same computer. They can't see the history of where you've been.
Right. And that's the only thing.
I see.
Now, some browsers, didn't Firefox just add a browser or a VPN?
Firefox and
Opera
VPN,
has a VPN
Brave
built in?
It has a VPN. Yeah, there are several that have VPNs. They're not fast.
Yeah.
You got to be aware that free VPNs are slow.
And the only thing that really gains you is changing your geographic source.
Right.
You know, so what city are you coming from?
And
it
also,
doesn't really add any protection to where you're going because your websites are already encrypted.
Right. But what it does is it hides you from the other end, and that is all it does. The question is, how much do you trust the VPN company?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of those companies sell those data.
That's how it's free.
So you're looking up let's say airline prices.
Yeah.
The airline can say, so send me a list of all the people who were looking up airline fares yesterday. And some VPN companies will gladly do that because they are paid by the airline company to do that.
Huh.
So the question is, who do you trust? VPNs are a great idea. The problem is, who do you trust?
And so the bottom line is, it's virtually impossible to be anonymous on the internet. You can try using Tor, which jumps you through three different computers before you get to the end point. But now there's stories that the NSA and the CIA are running endpoints, so they know where you are.
Yeah, they do.
Mm. Apple has a, what do they call it? Where they use two hops to anonymize your browsing. So they don't know where you go. They send you to a middleman, but the middleman knows where you went.
Right.
And we don't know who they're using as the middleman.
Right. So there's the concept of real privacy on the internet is an illusion. I'm sorry, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for all your help.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Ed. I don't know what we helped with. Because
yeah. iCloud Private Relay is what Apple calls it, but yeah. They don't say who they're using for that relay.
Dave?
Hit the button, Dave.
Mute the guy, Dave! Dave, pat the guy down!
Or turn it
Thank
off.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Something's Sorry, good. I didn't hear him. I was checking
yeah. in the mess. I saw a very interesting meme this week. For the last 20-odd years, we have been building the internet, including all of human knowledge, as basically a free library.
Right.
And now the new AI people are coming in and charging you admission.
Right.
So we're too used to giving everything for free, and now we're starting to see that there's no money in free.
There's no money in free.
And so for the companies to keep offering what they're offering, somebody's got to pay, and it's either the advertising, so that's been the typical business model for hundreds of years, or you pay directly now. What really gets me is when they want both. It's like some of the streaming services. They're raising their prices, so you used to be able to get an ad-free tier, and then a cheaper price for seeing ads. Well, now they're raising the prices. Well, you'll see less ads, but still ads. But I'm paying you to stop the ads.
Right. Is AIprofitable.com is a pretty cool website, actually.
They're certainly gaining a lot of venture capital, whether they're earning any money or not.
The only one earning money is NVIDIA. Spoiler alert. The only one earning money is NVIDIA because they're selling
the chips.
The chips.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Uh-oh, my system isn't working. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Take a quick break, but don't go too far, because we're coming right back.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have our friend Al from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, Al?
Well, top of the morning to you guys.
And the rest of the day to yourself.
Hey, just a little thing to share with your other listeners. I'm sure you've all run into little things in Windows that just annoy you, but not enough to do anything about it. Just like the pebble in your shoe.
Yeah.
So, with my advancing ears and larger screens, I noticed that the scroll bars on a lot of the windows are increasingly hard to see because they're narrow and tiny, or sometimes they turn them right off. And I sort of lived with it. But I finally dug around and said, gee, there's actually an easy solution to it. It's like four mouse clicks. And so I wanted to share that with the folks.
Go for it.
Okay. So, folks, if you go to your settings button, look for accessibility, then visual effects, and there's an option for a check mark saying always show scroll bar. It not only forces them to show up, it makes them bigger. And that's just a quick and easy way to do it. You can get into regedit solutions that make them even larger, but just keeping it simple, that's about as easy as it gets.
Nice. Say it again, please.
I'm sure. Kidding. So, settings, accessibility, visual effects, and then a checkbox, always show scroll bar. And that's all it takes.
Excellent. Nice. Thanks.
Yeah. So, now I have a question under the heading of annoying, and actually a little more annoying. I keep fussing around trying to figure out some way to bring back the activity in Windows where if you have multiple browser windows open, whichever one is open is highlighted, as in the title bar is highlighted, not just the frame around it. And I still can't find anything that works reliably, and so I'm open to if anyone comes up with a brilliant solution. Because it's too often I have half a dozen windows open and I start to click on something and realize that I didn't click on the active window, I clicked on some window that's three layers down.
Which browser?
Firefox.
Oh.
I thought that was a built-in feature. The active window is highlighted.
No, since the Proton updates, it doesn't do that anymore. There is an add-on, actually a theme. One of the themes, like Aspen Glow, will do that.
Okay.
But it's a different... there's also a color extension. If you go to the color extension, install the color extension, then go to Advanced Colors, you can customize your tab selected and tab text colors.
Okay. And that's Firefox specific?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what about the rest of Windows? Because I should have been more specific, more defined that it's not just browser windows, it's Adobe, it's everyone else too.
Oh, the current window is highlighted.
Yes.
Okay, and that's Windows 11 or what?
Oh yeah, 11.
Okay. You have to enable colored window borders, I believe is what it is. And it's in settings, personalization, colors. And then you toggle on show accent color on title bars and window borders.
Okay.
So that's settings, personalization, colors, and then toggle on show accent color on title bars and window borders.
Okay. Give it a whirl.
Yeah. And that's Windows. I will open the settings, of course. So.
Sure. Okay. I'm getting too old and crotchety to be frustrated by little things. So.
Understood. I don't like being frustrated by anything.
So, good enough. Well, thank you once again, guys. Always a pleasure.
Always a joy. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you. Take care.
Yep. Bye. Thanks. All right. Let's go back to the news. We'll read the Apple and Google news, and we'll start out with the story we already talked a little bit about. On Thursday, Apple officially raised the prices on many of its hardware offerings, including iPads, Mac, smart speakers, and even the affordable MacBook Neo. While Cook said the company has tried to shield customers from price increases at the cost of memory and storage, as the cost of memory and storage has recently surged thanks to AI companies stockpiling RAMs and SSDs for data centers, Apple has finally joined companies like Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft with price hikes. Android 17 is officially available for a number of Google Pixel devices now that it's out of beta. With that, some are reporting a strange bug that essentially breaks the Google Pixel's ability to recognize scrolling touch input. The issue seems to affect multiple Pixel generations. It looks like the issue spans back to the Pixel 7, and it seems like most model variants are seeing the issue. Google has said it is aware of the Pixel scrolling issue, but it's unclear if there is a fix on the way, and I have to say I don't see it on my Pixel 7 Pro, so I don't know. A company that sells spyware and hacking tools to government agencies has published details of a vulnerability in Apple chips that can potentially help hackers unlock older iPhones. This release opens the door for other researchers who specialize in finding iOS vulnerabilities, such as those working for governments or their contractors, to develop effective hacks for iPhones. This is a reminder that while Apple has made iPhones extremely hard to hack, there are and will always be vulnerabilities that sophisticated hackers can take advantage of to break in. Google is rolling out new privacy controls for Search and Google Play, giving you more control over saved history and personalized recommendations. Google noted that search services include search, maps, shopping, hotels, flights, translate, and news, and users will see the change in their Google account in the next few days. A new macOS Click Fix campaign is using terminal commands to silently download, mount, and launch info-stealing malware from malicious disk image or DMG files. The campaign is infecting Mac devices with Atomic macOS Stealer or Amos Info Stealer, which steals browser credentials, cryptocurrency wallet data, keychain data, messaging app information, and user documents. So, kind of everything. Researchers say it begins with a fake CAPTCHA page. It tells users to open terminal and paste the malicious command to verify themselves. So don't do that.
That's why Apple added a check for that in recent OS updates to warn you if you're pasting into terminal.
Right. It doesn't stop you, but it warns you. It stops you in some instances. Google Finance is not a new product. It's been around for 20 years, long enough that it initially relied on Flash to display charts and graphs. The website has gotten a few major updates over the years, but it's never had a mobile app until now. Google has released the first standalone app for Google Finance, which is currently exclusive to Android with iOS planned for later this year. The app is available globally in the Play Store. A newly discovered macOS malware dubbed Gaslight is designed to confuse AI-assisted malware analysis tools by hiding prompt injection strings and fake debugging data within the executable. Cybersecurity researchers are increasingly using AI-powered tools to assist with malware analysis and reverse engineering. So people are now using AI to fool AI when other people are using AI.
Yep.
But we're still fairly, at least. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but Apple has had to raise their prices just like everybody else. So we know why. It's because AI, the companies that make RAM and the companies that make SSDs can charge a lot more for the same product when they sell it to an AI company than they can selling it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So screw you. And I get it. Like I've said before, that's their job. Their job is to make money for their shareholders. They don't care about you. And I get that. But Apple had thought they were kind of protected from that by A, making their own chips, and B, stockpiling a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Locking in prices a year ahead of time.
And locking in prices a year ahead of time. The problem is they are the victims of their own success.
Yeah.
So much stuff, particularly the Neos, that they've now run out of that stock that they thought was going to last them another year.
And Micron is intimating that Apple is the cause of memory chip price increases because they locked in low prices a year ago. We would have been raising them all along, but Apple locked in a low price a year ago, 2 years ago now, and they've run out of it. Apple just petitioned a government to buy chips from a blacklisted Chinese company because they have them available.
That's the other part of the problem.
Yeah,
is that our government has blacklisted a number of companies, mostly from China, but not all of them. From selling any chips in the United States. And I get it. There are security concerns. I absolutely get it. The point is, all of these companies have stockpiles of massive numbers of chips, mm-hmm. and they're selling them cheap everywhere else in the world but here.
And the problem is expounded. There's nothing technically stopping Apple from buying the chips. It's just no government agency can ever buy an Apple device again.
Right.
Because this company is on the blacklist.
Right.
So do you lose that big a customer?
Right. They could sell to us.
Yeah.
But they can't sell to the government, and the government is a huge purchaser.
That's open. Oh, was it OpenAI or Anthropic? So one of the big
Anthropic.
Yeah, one of the Anthropic just a few weeks ago got put on the blacklist.
Right.
So nobody in the government can use Anthropic. Just as they come out with this new model that they say is so good, they're afraid to put it out.
Right.
Except they gave 50 big companies limited access to see how good it is.
It's
finding bugs. They're going through the GitHub repository and have found hundreds of bugs in well-known and well-used open source products.
And this is a problem for all the maintainers of all those things on GitHub.
Mm-hmm.
What they're suddenly finding is that they usually get notices that say, look, we found a bug. Here it is. And a lot of times it comes with a fix,
mm-hmm.
Because it's open source stuff. They're getting them by the tens of thousands, by the millions now, because AI is finding lots of them. The problem is a lot of them aren't real. AI hallucinates. And so they're getting a lot of fake fixes for problems that don't actually exist.
False positives,
and they're overwhelmed. You know, most of these things are maintained by 1, 2, 3, 5 people, and they're just overwhelmed by the number of things. There are a lot of companies, there are a lot of GitHub repositories that have stopped taking fixes. They've just stopped.
Yeah, they had to.
They had to, because they can't keep up.
But the supply chain attacks are real. Bad guys are inserting bad code. And in fact, LastPass lost all their data again.
Yeah, that's in there too, yeah. LastPass, yeah.
They say
they didn't lose any of the repositories.
Vaults this time.
Any of the vaults this time. But they lost all their customer data.
Through
names, addresses, phone numbers.
Through a chained exploit that attacked a Salesforce database.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, after they lost everybody's file vaults and password vaults last time, how can they have any customers left?
Well, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Well, because a lot of folks aren't really paying attention to what's going on. I mean, they might hear a blurb, depends on what news outlet. A lot of people don't get the morning paper anymore, and they'll listen to this news service or that news service, and if it's just a quick,
a lot of people listen to tech news except for us.
And you can't trust your email. They would have emailed every customer that they had this problem.
And it just goes in one ear and out
and
the
it's
other.
Junk. And this one was real. How do you tell the real mail from all the fake mail? It's very, very hard.
Again,
we've talked about it, but it goes in, you said, it goes in one ear and out the other. We talked about both of the breaches from LastPass.
Yeah. and they get click happy and just, yeah, junk, 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 junk. Or they'll open up the top screen where the little black boxes and say, mark all, and delete them.
Yeah. We had a customer come in a few years ago, and she had 300,000 unread messages in her inbox.
Holy shoot.
Because she never did anything with junk. She just ignored it. Didn't delete it, didn't mark it as junk, just ignored it. And we thought that was bad.
That is not great.
Until a couple of weeks later, someone came in with 400,000 unread messages. And we're thinking, how much mail space are you paying for?
Well, and the other thing is, I use Gmail, and Gmail is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Not perfect.
They say they block 2 billion junk mails a day. A day.
A day.
Yeah.
And so I either don't get them, or they go into junk. And I've got Thunderbird set, you know, junk mail lasts one day, and then it is automatically deleted. Done.
If it was,
and the same with the spam folder.
If it was real, they'll email me again.
Well, exactly. And I look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I take a look through it, but I only have to look at a dozen messages, not 400,000.
Yeah.
Because I'm because they delete every day.
I don't get as much now with the business gone.
Yeah, that's the problem. We have to get at the business. We have to get unsolicited email.
Right.
And there was one time we lost a sale because Jackie didn't read the email for 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
And so then she emailed back, and, oh, I already bought it. 20 minutes?
Yep.
Because she's given the false
alert
that she answers her email instantly. Expectation. Ooh. False expectation.
False expectation.
Dang.
I answer my email when I feel like
it. You hear that ding, and you just have to answer it. So turn the ding off.
Not me. I don't even have to answer the phone when it rings. Never have.
Yeah.
It's for my convenience, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a different ringtone for my wife and a different ringtone for my daughter.
Yep.
And everybody else can wait till I'm ready to
unless
talk.
It's a family. I've got a ringtone for family members.
Right.
And that's the only ones I will answer. Otherwise, there's this thing on the option called leave a message.
Right.
I do have a life and can be doing other stuff. Then hanging on to the phone.
Yeah, but then it gets annoying when I call a customer and leave a message. The message is usually, your computer's ready to pick up.
Right.
They call back and say, you called me?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did my message say? Oh, I didn't listen to it. Okay.
Yeah.
Or, how late are you open today? And they have to talk to me. We had a customer last week. They have to talk to me.
Well, you're famous. You're on the radio.
There's three or four other people in the office they could have talked to. And their question was, how do I make the text bigger on my screen?
Yeah.
Fairly simple. Go to appearance. They went to the Apple store and were there for 3 hours, and the guy couldn't tell them how to make the screen bigger and told them to buy a bigger monitor. So they go to
excellent. Excellent. Yeah. That works for me.
Driving sales.
Yeah, so they go, Apple doesn't sell. Well, Apple's big monitors are for professionals and are $1,600. Oh, they haven't raised the price of monitors yet because they're already $1,600 for 27. So they went to another company, bought a 32-inch monitor, plug it in, and apparently they missed the question about do you want it to be mirroring or multi-monitor because all they could see is their cursor on the screen because it was a second screen, not a mirror screen.
Right.
So they finally came into the store. They got me, and I went appearance, changed the screen size. There you go. So I fixed it in 10 seconds when the Apple store couldn't find it in 30 minutes.
I had a guy call me the other day and say, "Listen, I can you tell me this?" And he had a very simple question. I don't even own a Mac,
mm-hmm.
and I could answer it. And he said, "I spent an hour at the Apple store, and they couldn't answer that question." Well, what the hell is the Apple Store hiring? Who are they hiring? I'm sorry.
And they supposedly have very stringent training. Because I have to go through all that training, too.
Exactly right. How can they not? How can they not know this? I knew it, and I don't even own an Apple product.
Yeah. So the only thing I would think, maybe they asked the question wrong. So how do I make...
Yeah, okay.
He specifically wanted to make the menu bar bigger. Because he's very low sight, so he wanted the menu bar bigger.
Sure.
There isn't really much of a way to make the menu bar bigger without making everything bigger.
Right.
So I made everything bigger, and he was even happier.
Right, right. Right. I don't know. Listen, I gotta talk for a minute. I gotta get real here for a minute. We are in the middle of an emergency pledge drive.
End of year.
End of year emergency pledge drive. We are about $25,000 short, and that is a lot of money. And I'm going to now talk to the 90% of you who listen to this show and never contribute a dime. This is industry standard. It's been true ever since the days of shareware. 90% of the people who use a product where you can elect to pay or not pay, 90% of the people who use that product do not pay. And that's as true of radio, this station today, as it was 50 years ago of shareware. And I want to talk to you. We're not asking a lot. There are a bucket load of people who listen to this show. I know this because I see the number of people who download the podcast every month. The unique number of people who download the podcast every month. Not the total number, the unique number. And if every one of you gave us $10, we would more than make up our deficit. So I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of you people who do not normally contribute to this show and contribute to this station. We need you. We need you so that we can reach our goal. Everything is more expensive. I get that. But it's also more expensive for us. We need your help. So head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and make a donation. We do have levels at the $35 level and on up. And if you can hit one of those levels, particularly the higher levels, God bless you. And if you can't, any amount of money will do. Any amount. Just go there and make a donation. Make a pledge. We need to hit that number before the end of the month. Or stuff is going to change. Stuff is going to go away. You already see we have trouble with the phones. You already see we have trouble with this and that. That's not going to get better if we can't fix it. And we can't fix it if you don't help. So please head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and make a pledge and get us over the goal line. It's $25,000. And you might say to yourself, well, that's only $25,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And you can help us get there. You need to do that. Do that right now. Do that without waiting. Don't wait. If you're out jogging, write a note on the back of your hand. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road and grab your phone. Do it now. Do it right this instant.
And also, if you folks are going up for the last day of the Jazz Fest, today is the closing day of the Jazz Fest. There's a lot of great bands up there playing and doing it. Stop by the tent. We have a donation box up there that you can drive by there as you're waiting. Going to the next concert, just throw a few bucks in there, too. Say hello to the guys in the tent. They love to see faces in there.
Tell them the Soundbite guy sent you.
Yeah.
That'll wake them up.
Hopefully. Yeah, like I say, I got to admit, it's been a great week for the Jazz Fest. Again, there's no other concert that I think you can go to that's this long. Mm-hmm. See these many different acts and have a good, safe time.
And it's almost like jazz is kind of just the most nebulous term. Because, yeah, there's a lot of traditional jazz, but there's smooth jazz, there's rock jazz, there's country jazz, there's
Soul
all sorts.
Fusion.
Yeah.
Soul Stew played Thursday night, and, they have the people rocking in the aisles. It's unbelievable.
All right, we're going to take... The first hour of this show is done. Unbelievable. All right, the first hour of this show is done, but do not despair. There's a whole other hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. A whole other hour of Dave Enright, a whole other hour of Steve Ray, a whole other hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole other hour of you, but only if you donate. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. Listen, you are important. You are unique. Don't be part of the 90%. Be part of the 10%. Make that pledge. Make that donation. jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. You got a couple of minutes during the break to do it. It's the perfect time. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I rebooted my machine, so it's going to take me a half a minute here. Okay.
Well, speaking of things going on this weekend at the end of the Jazz Fest... Also, rocket launch at Geneseo, at the Geneseo Airport, Delta 52, if you're flying in. Although, don't circle the airport waiting for launch to go off, because we can't launch when there's airplanes in the air. Also, at Northampton Park in Spencerport, the Rochester Radio Control Club is doing their airplane fun fly and open house and swap meet this weekend.
Nice.
It's also the AMA National Fun Fly. If you're in Muncie, Indiana, one of these years, I want to go out there.
Indiana.
There's a difference between the Fun Fly, where you're just flying for fun, and then the NATS, which is their international competition, where you actually get judged on your flying. Someone pointed out once that I'm very enthusiastic at the field. I'm not very good, but I sure am enthusiastic.
Enthusiasm goes for something.
Yep.
All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from, I believe, Pavilion, New York. Brian, you there?
Yes, you believe correctly.
Okay, excellent. What's up?
Actually, I just called to tell you that I don't really have any problems today with anything that's worked. Everything seems to be working. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I did just give you guys a couple of bucks.
God bless
you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That is exactly what we need.
It's very difficult for me these days. I used to be able to support a lot better than I can these days. Things have changed for me personally, but if I can do it, you can do it.
We appreciate that. Like we've always said for decades, there is no wrong amount. Every dollar gets us that much closer to it. And thank you very much,
yeah,
Brian.
Well, I just sure wish I could do more. Like I used to, but just ain't happening these days.
Hey,
no, understood.
We fully understand. Hey, you have our sympathy. Like we've said, you know, everybody helps out, and it makes the lift a little bit lighter to do it if everybody just pitches in a buck or two.
Oh, for sure, and I do owe you a little bit. I've been with you guys since the Dr. Bob days. I, in fact, deep into the Dr. Bob days.
Dear Dr. Bob.
God bless his soul.
Boy, didn't I have the absolute grace to sit next to him. He was waiting for his daughter to come at the airport, and I happened to be sitting down in the waiting area that he was at, and I recognized his voice. I didn't recognize his face back then.
Right.
It wasn't really. And I had the grace to talk to him for about 45 minutes or so. And, man, we did everything from computers, moved straight through the bills. The guy could just talk about anything.
Anything. He was such a smart man and such a widely... ranging intellect, just amazing human being.
It's like he started AM talk radio, right?
Sounds like it, yeah.
And just profoundly intelligent, which you know, a guy like that could have gone. Well, he did very well for himself, but he could have gone anywhere and done anything in his life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quite an amazing human being.
I was listening to the archive. In fact, just yesterday, I was listening to a few of the archives, and just. Great to hear him talking again.
Yeah, he was a great human being, and we all miss him. We were all glad to know him.
Well, we're out here doing what we can for you guys, and you know, it is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It is tough, and thank you so much, and good luck to you, too.
Oh, no, thank you, guys, and I wish I could do more.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks. For those of you just tuning in for the second hour, what Brian's talking about is that we are in the middle of an emergency pledge drive, end-of-year pledge drive. We're about $25,000 short.
Close the gap.
We need to close the gap, and in the last hour, I was talking to the, and this does shock me, 90% of you who listen to this show and do not donate. And as Brian said, these are perilous economic times.
We get it.
We all get it, and I understand, but it is tough for us, too. We're about $25,000 short. We've got till the end of the month to make it up. And as I said, since the days of shareware in the 80s, about 90% of the people who use a product that you can either get for free or pay for, about 90% don't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
90% of you are supported by 10% of you. And we'd like to raise that. We think that you, our listeners, are better than the average public, and that you should be better than 10%. Currently, you are not, and I would suspect you could be better. So what I would love to see you do is head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red Donate Now button, and give a few bucks. We do have membership levels starting at $35. I get it if you can't afford that. $5, $10, $20, $15, $8, whatever.
Jazz-O-Matic.
Jazz-O-Matic. Mm-hmm. The other thing is Jazz-O-Matic. Let's not forget that. $10 a month minimum, whatever you can afford a month, we will take that automatically out of your checking account for 1 year. And that's, you know, you decide. And if you decide you need to stop, we will stop. And certainly it won't be more than a year, but if it has to be less, we can do that. We can accommodate that. And that means it's a little nibble every month rather than a big bite all at once, but it still helps us. So we would appreciate it very much if you would head on over to jazz901.org and be better than 10%.
Mm-hmm.
We think that you are and can be. And so I expect to see that number jump up. Thank you very much. And to all those of you who have given and given more than once, bless each and every one of you. So thank you. And while you do that, I will read the Microsoft news in addition to the original news of extending the Microsoft Windows 10 for another year. Microsoft has confirmed Windows 11 version 26H2, the next annual update for Windows 11. For most existing Windows 11 systems, this will not be a full OS upgrade. Microsoft says Windows 11 26H2 shares the same servicing branch as Windows 11 24H2 and 25H2. This means supported devices on those versions will receive 26H2 as a small enablement package. Microsoft says this update path should be closer to a monthly update than a full system replacement. Devices running Windows 11 26H1 will not be able to update to version 26H2. According to the company, 26H1 is based on a different Windows core than 24H2, 25H2, and 26H1 is different. A new critique in the scientific journal Nature is raising fresh questions about Microsoft opening a new tab, claimed quantum computing breakthrough last year, which underpinned the company's announcement this month that it will have a working quantum system by 2029. Microsoft has spent nearly two decades trying to break new scientific ground on a technology it says could help it leapfrog competitors. In a formal reply to the critique, Microsoft said it stands behind its research and that its quantum program is making practical progress despite any concerns. A vulnerability chain dubbed AutoJack in Microsoft's AutoGen Studio interface for prototyping AI agents, gasp, AI agents, could let attackers manipulate an agent into executing arbitrary commands on its host system simply by visiting a malicious web page. AutoGen Studio is the graphical component for AutoGen, Microsoft's open-source framework for building multi-agent AI systems. The framework allows developers to create AI agents that can collaborate with one another, use tools, browse the web, execute code, interact with APIs, and connect to external systems. The project is very popular, with more than 59,000 stars and nearly 9,000 forks on GitHub. Microsoft says new Outlook, will soon group your notifications and reduce interruptions, a.k.a. notification spam, on Windows. But it won't admit that Outlook Classic loads email faster, almost more than 10 seconds faster, when you open emails via notifications. New Outlook has a major reliability problem, particularly with notifications. You either don't receive notifications for your connected accounts, or you receive notifications for any of your emails. It could take longer than 10 seconds to open the email. Italy's antitrust authority said on Friday that it had opened an investigation into Microsoft over alleged unfair commercial practices linked to the price hike of its Microsoft 365 subscription. The regulator said the Windows maker did not adequately inform consumers that its Microsoft 365 service had been integrated with artificial intelligence tools Copilot and Designer. Consumers were automatically moved to a more expensive subscription plan unless they actively opted out, while receiving insufficient information to decide whether to renew their contracts, the watchdog added in its statement. We don't need a contract, just a phone call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. We don't even have a contract here. We were just a handshake with Rob, which is more binding to me than any contract.
That wasn't even a handshake. It was just, all right, let's order.
Yeah, let's order. When do you guys want to start? Okay, let's eat.
We said June 5th. I'll never forget that. All right, I got a Saturday time slot open. When do you want to start? We looked at the calendar. June 5th. All right, let's order.
Yeah, that was it. That was the entire discussion.
Yeah, literally.
For getting us on this station.
What, that was 15 years ago?
And now we can't get rid of it.
15 years ago?
Right, now we can't get rid of us. Yeah,
how long? No matter how much he's tried.
Yeah.
17 years.
Like a bad penny, we keep popping up every Saturday, giving up our Saturdays right in the middle of a Saturday. He had the brainstorm to put a talk show on a jazz station.
Yep. 17 years and 21 days ago we started here.
That took some guts. Because he was just new at this job,
or
folks.
Stupidity. It was one or the other.
Well, he was on probably good drugs. Yeah. Young kid. Didn't know better. But he had literally just started this position here, and he went to the school board and said, guess what? I'm going to put a talk show on a Saturday afternoon, prime time, and you folks are going to love it. And I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that one, because they're probably all sitting there, what the heck is we just get ourselves into?
What did we do?
Some young kid.
Who's this little whippersnapper?
Yeah. And he comes over here, and then he's putting a talk show at a jazz station? I hope he knows what he's doing. But I don't think, folks, due to you folks, in your great support, which
you
have done.
This is all you, folks.
It is all you. All we do is come here every Saturday, talk to you folks, keep you up informed of what's going on, help you try to solve your computer problems. We come to you twice a year to ask for your help to keep us here.
Unless it's an emergency like now.
Yeah. But, I mean, for the most part, we love what we do. The three of us have been doing this for over 36 years now?
Yeah.
36 years, folks. That's longer than my first marriage.
Longer than my child.
Yeah. Almost as old as my kids. I mean, older than my grandkids, but, you know, we've been through a lot. I mean, we have taken you back from the old big, huge PCs that used to sit on your desk, you know, 286s with 5 1/4-inch floppies.
We used to get questions like, what is that big red switch on the side for?
Yeah.
How do you use a mouse?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how far back we go.
And Bernoulli boards and backup system.
Bernoulli drives. I still have a Bernoulli drive somewhere.
Yeah.
The drive, not the drive, but the disk.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember going around we had the Trash 80. We call it, it was a Tandy 80, mm-hmm. And it had 8 1/2-inch disc on it. I mean, we've been through those times with you folks. You've been able to turn on Saturdays, and we have been there. Back from the days of Bob Smith, right on through to here at Jazz 90.1.
In fact, I was just talking with someone the other day about a micro flexi disc.
Oh, yeah. I have
that. That was the traditional 3¼-inch discs.
Right.
They weren't floppy like the previous ones. They had a hard plastic shell.
Right.
So it was a micro flexi disc.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone still called them floppies, even though they weren't floppy.
Even though they weren't floppy. I excavated a zip drive the other day. It probably has click death on it.
Because the disc inside the shell was floppy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been on the air for quite a while, and it's you folks who kept us here, and it's you folks who've kept us on the air, and that's why we come to you folks to become members. Like I said, 90% of you are not, and I would love to see that number go up. I think you're above average. I think each and every one of you is above average. Prove me right.
Well, like Brian said, you know, he couldn't afford much, but that's not the thing.
It's not how much.
No, it's, you know, every little dollar makes that lift that we've got to get to our goal that much lighter, whether it's a dollar, $10, whatever you can afford. It's just getting us to that point so we can keep coming to you folks every Saturday like we do, giving up our time. We're just asking you to give up a little time and money, excuse me, to get us to that goal.
Yeah, and it just takes a couple of minutes of your time. And you can head right on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and donate now.
It's always surprising how, let's say I word this carefully, how little money it takes to run this radio station.
Yeah,
compared to a big commercial radio station. I think Rob said once that half the money we raise goes to licensing fees. To actually
more than half.
Pay for the music we play.
Right.
And the streaming services. Yeah. That's streaming not free. Services.
Right. Yeah. The fact that there are a bunch of you who listen over the internet or through your smart speaker.
How many are on the jazz stream there?
There was up to 128. Back, 2 years ago, I believe, we were limited to less than 100. He had to up the fee because we were getting so many folks listening.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That he opened it up, and now, you know, average, we get 128 listeners during a week.
And there's 26 watching on YouTube.
12 or 13 who actually donate.
Yeah.
10%. So we need you to step up. That's all we're asking. And I know you don't like to hear this. I get it. I get that you don't like to hear this. So here's how you stop it. You donate. Mm-hmm. Once we hit our goal, we stop talking about it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And we really need your help. We only have till the end of the month, which is coming right up.
Next week.
So 3-4 days. So we need your help. We need you to step up. Because otherwise, things got to change, right? If we don't make the money, we got to make some changes. And we don't want to do that. You don't want us to do that. So donate, please. It just takes a couple of minutes. And if you're listening to this during the week, through the podcast, absolutely, please donate. You have a phone, you're clearly listening on your phone. Maybe you're listening through the app. Apps aren't free. They cost money to make. They cost money to put in the stores. We don't charge you to download it, but we would love you to become a member. And I know we all want everything for free. I want everything for free. Get over yourself. So make that donation, make that pledge, be an adult. Make
help us out.
We need your help. We do need your help. We absolutely need your help. I have to do something about the fact that my this is annoying me.
His touchscreen has
stopped touching.
So Apple doesn't have a touchscreen computer yet. Just the tablets and the phones. We were with a guy yesterday who was trying to touch a screen. So that was not a touchscreen. And like 5 minutes later, he started tapping at the screen again. Still not a touchscreen.
Didn't magically become a touchscreen. Neither did mine, apparently.
There are rumors that there's a touchscreen Mac coming this fall. In fact, the latest rumor is it's not going to have the M6 anymore. It's going to have the M5. So the M5 came out this year. If they come out with an M6 this year, too, that would really upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Isn't your other laptop a touchscreen?
Yes. But not this one anymore.
Wait a minute. The guy
that
touch
it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah. It's finally said,
I can touch it. I can touch it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the guy that has an obsession, He says, I have an obsession with tabs. He's got an obsession with laptops.
I do, and it's just,
it's an obsession.
I do. Look, I'm trying to cut down. I haven't bought a laptop. I bought the stylistic. Okay, so let me talk about the stylistic
for a second. Busted!
The Fujitsu stylistic, I was online, I was just looking at stuff, because I can window shop, I don't have to buy. And the Fujitsu stylistic is actually a two-in-one. It's a tablet with a keyboard, and you can detach it, and it becomes a tablet, or you can put it in a
desktop. Mm-hmm.
$68 with Windows 11. 4 gig of RAM. I thought, how long can I go for $68? Come on. So that I got. And then,
well, that's so I'm just looking at Woot now. They have an M2 for 50% off, $10.99.
Yeah.
For M2. So after Apple's price hikes, before Apple's price hikes, so like Monday.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime Days. Are I think ending today too.
No, they ended yesterday.
Yesterday was it?
Yeah, so they Friday had,
it was yesterday.
They had discounts on Apple products using the old prices, so it was an even better discount after Apple raised their price.
Oh,
so a lot of people were saying, "Well, buy it on Amazon now because it's a discount on the old price, not a discount on the new price." So now the rumors are coming out. What's Apple's back to school special going to be? It usually isn't that big a deal. It typically has been $100 Apple gift card.
Right.
So basically, it's $100 off your computer, but they give it to you in an Apple gift card, so
you spend more
stuff on the Apple store anyway.
It's staying within the Apple family.
Yeah.
Correct.
They have a Dell Latitude for $139 on Woot. So when Amazon bought Woot, they didn't like mess it up too bad.
No. Matter of fact, I got my one laptop from Woot. It was all of $78. It's 13-inch. But I use it for when I go out to do my POTA. And it's got a touchscreen. And it's great. It's fast. I'm only doing, this one program on it. And it works fantastic. It's got, 4 gig of memory. And I put another 4 gig in the stick. Got it up to 8. Works great. Blazing fast.
In my defense, most of my laptops came from Woot, and they were scratch and dent sales and like that, so they were under $100.
That's what this was, as they put it, gently used.
And again, a lot of the computers that the laptops that I get in are from other people that I then refurbish and move along.
Mine. Knock on wood. I've had mine 2 years. You know, you got me to look over there, and I did, and I don't regret it one bit. It's a nice, lightweight. And it charges fast.
Now, again, this laptop is 14 years old. So the fact that the touchscreen just died...
Doesn't owe you anything.
It doesn't owe me anything. I'm not upset that the touchscreen is gone.
Are your fingers too dry? Because is that a capacitive touch or a pressure touch?
Nope. It's not my fingers.
We sometimes see that on the iPads if someone has a lot of hand lotion on. If their fingers are too dry, it doesn't work. So they end up putting a lot of hand lotion on, so it doesn't work.
And then you have the smears on the screen.
Yeah.
Right. So I now have a non-touch screen. The problem is I've been doing, I've been hitting the 30-second button with my thumb. Now I just have to move over with the mouse. Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing that is.
Should we give you a little extra time to adjust?
Yeah, well, I need time. I can't. It's different. It's all different now.
He's going to have to learn to redrive his laptop, folks.
Exactly right.
Time out.
The problem now is, though, I've turned off the touchpad. And there was one time when I forgot my mouse.
And you can't turn the touchpad back on.
And you can't, I could because I had a touch screen. I could then go in, I could hit the thing and go into the touchscreen, turn it on, and have my touchpad. Now I can't do that, so I better not forget the mouse now.
I've got a setting that says ignore touchpad only if a mouse is attached.
Yeah, I don't think that's in this version. It's on one of my other machines, but I don't think it's in this.
So if you happen to forget your
mouse. He's lost track of what laptop has what.
Yep. What version of Linux? I run multiple versions of Linux. That's the big thing for me. Oh, Intel. What is Intel doing? What is that? What is that? I don't know. What if I move up the sensitivity? That didn't help. Okay, I don't know what Intel.
You're just so sensitive.
I'm sensitive. Sensitive. My touchpad is off. Now my touchpad is on. It says it can disable the touchpad while typing,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't say I can disable it when the mouse is attached.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, it served you well. It owes you nothing.
It owes me nothing. That's absolutely true.
And, I mean, it's... Wait a minute. Let's get it even finer. It's not like it's unusable. It's just that you have to use a mouse
right.
instead of your finger.
That's what I'm saying. It's a first world problem. Yeah, it's a first world problem, and I absolutely get that.
It's still keeping track of stuff. It's
right.
still entry. The keyboard works.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, no question that everything works except the touchpad, and I should be happy.
He's got to lift his hand up. A few inches more, folks, and over to touch the mouse instead of just touching the screen.
Right. And so I have to do that now. When he hits the thing, I'm going to hit the 30-second...
Life's problems, you know what I mean?
I know it. It's a first-world problem, and I admit it.
But it
happened in the middle of the show, and it threw me for a minute. Because suddenly things weren't doing the things they were doing. So...
See what happens when we get this old? Yeah. Simple little things that we take for granted are all of a sudden changed. And, oh, damn, our world's in a world.
yep. All right, we're going to take a quick break while I try to figure out where I am in this universe. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, probably Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites. That would be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a couple of minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And hey, my touchscreen is working again. I closed the lid. I opened it up again. Now it's working again. It's
old like you.
It's old like me, and there's a short somewhere in the hinge, and I get that.
Well, see, that's been the problem with laptops forever. The power and data have to go through the hinge. Right. And then they added camera and microphone. And opening
touch screen.
Touch now, opening and closing that hinge over the years, although those wires wear out.
Those wires wear out. I get that. I do. All right. Hold on. No, I thought it was somebody on the line. All right. So consumer.
There was, but they left.
Very impatient. Consumer AMD CPUs will once again offer encryption protection against physical attacks after facing user backlash for silently removing the feature. AMD stripped it from consumer PCs, leaving it only in more expensive enterprise machines. Users were understandably miffed. AMD has caved, and it's back. Or it will be in a firmware update scheduled for release next month. LastPass announced that hackers accessed support cases containing customer data from its Salesforce environment after stealing the company's OAuth tokens in the Clue supply chain attack earlier this month. The password manager platform says its products, services, and infrastructure were not affected by the incident and that customer vaults remain secure. They only got customers' names, addresses, both email and physical, and phone numbers, that's all. A newly disclosed FFmpeg flaw, dubbed Pixel Smash, could be exploited for remote code execution on Jellyfin servers under certain conditions and can also trigger a denial of service condition in applications like Kodi, MB, Nextcloud, PhotoPrism, and OBS Studio. FFmpeg released version 8.1.2, which fixes the flaw. So, update. For the past 3 years, Meta and Ray-Ban have been synonymous In the smart glasses space. Not anymore. Now Meta's smart glasses have non-Ray-Ban models in 3 styles and 7 colors. Of course, the glasses' biggest hurdle may be the air attachment to Meta and its history of privacy scandals. And, of course, the fact that now you don't know if somebody is streaming your private stuff to the Internet. A new chip architecture from IBM can integrate nearly 100 billion transistors on a chip the size of a human fingernail, nearly twice the transistor density of the company's previous generation of chip technology. The resulting improvement in chip computer performance and energy consumption and energy efficiency comes from what IBM describes as the world's first sub-1 nanometer chip technology for AI data centers. Keep in mind that these numbers, like sub-1 nanometer, have nothing to do with the actual physical dimensions of the chip itself. It's all just marketing. It's actually got to do with the speed at which it communicates, not with the actual size of the... Doesn't matter. The Federal Communications Commission was roundly criticized Thursday for proposing to scale back or eliminate E-Rate, a $2 billion a year universal service program that provides discounts for telecom services and equipment in schools and libraries. That's right, we may lose our cheaper internet access here. So all the more reason for you to donate. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr said E-Rate should be changed because students are getting too much screen time. The Carr FCC already scaled E-Rate back last year by ending funding for schools and libraries to lend out Wi-Fi hotspots. The FCC also stopped funding for Wi-Fi service on school buses. This is a program that nearly every community in the U.S. relies on. And you can rely on us. So just give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415.
Do they realize the internet is used for more than just doom scrolling?
No. No, they do not.
No. Nobody has encyclopedias at home anymore.
That's right.
You do your research online.
That's right. And schools like this one will be probably losing the less expensive internet access they've been getting, and now they'll just have to pay more, which means we'll have to pay more, which means we're hoping that you will continue to support us.
And that's
jazz901.org.
That was an interesting thing. I hadn't realized libraries actually loan out Wi-Fi hotspots.
Yeah, they do.
So if you don't have Wi-Fi at home, you can get a Wi-Fi hotspot. I think you get it for 3 weeks or something like that.
Something like that.
I saw a note from our Fairport library that they so many of them don't work. I think they're only down to a few of them left.
Yeah.
Because they tend to get beat up a little bit. So you take something out of the library to take care of it, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah. This because somebody else is going to want to borrow that. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is JD, all the way from Altoona, PA. What's up?
Hey, first off, I just wanted to say that after I heard your plea for money, I donated $25. Unfortunately, it's all I can afford right now.
Believe me, that is
last year. So
super welcome, thank you, Jade. Thank you, JD.
But that said, since this is the first show that I've actually listened to since January, please forgive me. I'm trying to get caught up to the podcast, but as I say that, this is going out to all the podcast listeners. I challenge each of you to step up and throw a 20. You know, if we all do, I know it hurts right now, but come on. We all love the show. If nothing else, then for the good camaraderie that we get to spend a Saturday with some friends.
God bless you. Yes. There's the challenge, podcast listeners. Head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and throw us a few bucks. We appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, JD.
I'll even say you can do it through the app itself.
That's exactly right.
I appreciate that.
That's exactly right.
So I've been trying to get my schedule to line up with you guys for a couple of weeks now. My question is this. My new supercomputer is finally online. It's an AMD 9950X with 128 gigs of RAM. I built the hardware or got the hardware before everything went nuts. So
you know what you know. Wait a minute. You know what you should do though.
Yeah, you guys ain't getting to test it.
We would gladly do that free of charge for you. we'll even pay to ship it up here, and you know, let us each test it out for about 3 months each.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you guys would appreciate that. Unfortunately, it's kind of why I'm trying to call you right now.
Okay, what's up?
So I am switching from Windows to Linux, finally. Right. My problem now is secure boot. I am running everything in virtual machines on top of the system. So, as you know, that requires a signed kernel drivers and all that stuff.
Right.
The virtual machine, apparently any of them, require you to go through a whole process to sign the drivers after you install everything.
Right.
And anytime anything upgrades, you got to do it all over again, which means I'm back to the point that I was when I was in the makerspace, where I'd go in to do a project and have to spend hours fixing the tools to do the project. And I want a tool that's reliable. I don't want this computer is my to use, not to play with, if you get what I'm saying.
Right.
What would you suggest? My options are disable secure boot, forego this, set up a multi-boot system.
Right.
Or switch to KVM. Any suggestions?
Okay, so there are a couple of things. If you want to stay inside a virtual machine,
please hold.
You have to generate a machine owner key, or MOK pair, and then you import the public key into the VM's virtual UEFI firmware via the MOK manager, and then you use the Linux kernel utility sign file to sign the .ko driver file. That happens automatically when you just install Linux as the sole operating system on a system. But when you're using a virtual manager, you have to go through all of that nonsense.
So I should say that the way I currently have it set up is Ubuntu is a hypervisor, VirtualBox on top of that, and then I have four different installations, Windows, Windows XP, and then Ubuntu Studio for my creation stuff.
Right.
Those three, a current Windows system, Ubuntu Studio, and Windows XP are what I want to use basically as my daily drivers. I will say the XP VM, I made sure it has no network drivers, and other than being able to access the hard drives, it has no connection whatsoever to the outside world. But I don't want to, like, I set this all up in January, I think, and I've had things going on, went to start using it, and of course Linux had updated, and so all the work I did to get the VMs running now has to be done all over again.
Right. I find that interesting because, so you're using it as a hypervisor.
The Ubuntu works fine.
Right, because that's the base operating system.
Right.
Yeah, so you do want to, the best way to do that is, again, generate that machine owner key and sign it inside the third-party module. That will allow it to secure boot, and you will remain secure. Now, on the other hand, if this machine is indeed divorced from the rest of the world, you don't need secure boot, and you're the only person who uses that machine.
But as long as any part of the hardware connects to the net, you would suggest against disabling secure boot.
Okay, so the guest OS has to have secure boot enabled as well, right? So you can turn that on or off in the hypervisor.
Well, the problem is I can't get the VMs to boot. The virtual machine software, that's what has to be signed.
Right, that's the MOK. That's the machine owner key.
Right.
But you can turn off.
I've done that once. Go ahead.
Okay, but inside Hypervisor, you can say when you set it up, you can decide whether or not to turn on secure boot. If you turn it off, you don't need to set up an MOK, a machine owner key, for the...
I'll have to look into that. I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah. It depends on whose hypervisor you're using, but it should work in the Ubuntu one.
Okay.
So during the set... Now, this means you're not just clicking OK, OK, OK when you're setting up something in the hypervisor. You got to go in and fart around with the stuff inside. But you should be able to get to a point where it says yes or no on secure boot. And you say no... Okay. And then that guest OS will not need to be signed.
I will take a look. Thank you for the info.
Okay. Good luck.
Stay dry, everybody.
You too. Yeah. There are multiple ways to run guest operating systems inside your main operating system. A lot of people use something like VirtualBox. Or one of those, and it's easier in that. But when you are running what's called a hypervisor, it's basically an underlying layer that it talks to the hardware and lets you run any operating system on top of it. Multiple ones at once, as a matter of fact, and switch among them. And that's what 128 gig of RAM lets you do, by the way.
Right.
But it is a little less easy to set up.
So the other way he had mentioned is a KVM. So instead of trying to have one computer with six OSs on it, you have six computers and switch between them.
Each with one OS on it, right?
Yeah.
Right. And that's easy too.
A lot more expensive. You can always throw money at. Well, I don't know. Six cheap computers versus that high end AMD Ryzen he bought.
Right. I kept my old computer when I bought my new machine. And threw a KVM switch on it, so now I can go back and forth between them.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it easy. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is friend of the show, Dolores from
Lima.
Oh, Lima, New York, of course. Duh.
I'm sorry. I.
You there?
Yes, I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Sorry. Go ahead, Dolores.
Right. No. I just wanted to let you know that I made another donation using my Dell $40 Chromebook that I got from you.
Nice.
Thank you, Dolores. We appreciate that so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you can join Dolores and Brian and J.D., in making a donation. Like we said, it's the end of the year, and we're in an emergency pledge drive. We've got to make $25,000 by the end of the month, and you can help by heading on over to jazz901.org, hitting that big red Donate Now button, and making a pledge. It takes just a couple of minutes. You can do it online. You can do it through your phone, through your computer. You can do it through the app.
And before we run out of time here, Dave's getting another call loaded. We will not be live next week for July 4th.
Right, we will not be live.
Rumor has it that Rob is going to run a best of show.
Yes.
Which is hard to pick. They're all amazing.
They're all gems. Right. They're all gems, each and every one.
Yep, and then we won't do the Sunday chat either.
Right.
On the 5th.
But we will do the Sunday chat tomorrow. So those of you who would like to join us tomorrow in the lounge, head on over to soundbites.org. Look under the interesting link, some important links. In the very top one is the Soundbites Lounge, and that will be live from 9 to 10 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern Time. Those of you not in the Eastern Time Zone will have to do the time conversion on your own. Join us tomorrow night. It's live. You are under no obligation to turn on your microphone or your camera, so... don't even worry about that. And before we're done, let's talk to James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Oh, yes, I'm a longtime member. I donate $100 a year, which is 28 cents a day, which is $8 a month. Like, that's like one cup of coffee a month.
That's
so
right.
Everybody should be doing that for like 27, 28 cents a day. It's unbelievable.
Thank you, James. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Anyway, my question is, I had called you last week about replacing my battery on my Dell laptop, and I went on the Dell website, and they list two batteries that, well, they show two batteries for my, they detect my device on their website, and it says Dell 3 cells. So I called up, and I spoke to the lady. I wanted to get an official Dell battery, and she said it would be a 6-cell. What's the difference between the 3-cell and the 6-cell?
Three cells. Yeah.
The difference is that a 6-cell battery theoretically lasts longer per charge than a 3-cell. It's the number of cells inside the battery that can hold an electric charge. So a 6-cell battery, it's not quite double. But
six smaller cells versus three bigger cells.
Right.
So there's some trade-off there.
Right, but it is theoretically holds a charge longer.
It costs more.
The usual rating is how many milliamp hours or amp hours it can run.
Right. It's less important the number of cells than it is the amp hours.
Yeah, so anyway, she said we do not sell, that's 3 years old, we don't sell the parts. She said to go on Amazon, and supposedly they have official Dell parts, which I looked, and I don't, they show a lot of different batteries.
Yeah.
Any recommendations?
That's the problem, is there's so many, once you get the Dell part number, that helps, and then you search for that on Amazon, but there are so many different battery companies. You kind of got to take a look at the ratings.
Yeah.
But they can be gamed, so, you know, kind of ignore the 5-star ratings. I usually look at the 4, 4.5-star ratings.
Yep. And then read some of the reviews.
Some of the reviews, yep.
Okay.
Or in this case, if you want to really be sure, take it to a repair shop, have them order it.
Yeah.
And do the install. And that way you're guaranteed you're, one, getting the right product in there, not wasting your time getting something, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, this one isn't the right one. I thought it looked like this, and it was this. A repair shop would get the correct one for you and get it in.
Yeah, I always
say, and then you've got a face to look at if there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to check if it's sold by Amazon.
Uh-huh.
So it might be a third-party company, but if it's sold by Amazon, the return options are usually better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. All right, I may take it to your shop, Steve.
We generally don't handle PCs as much, but we might be able to find something for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, there's other vendors around also if he doesn't want to go, nothing against you, Steve. But like you say, you don't get into it much. There are some places still up here in Rochester that do local work. And, you know, we support any of those, you know, the small businesses and that.
Dell has a website.
Yeah, and I will say this, that over the years there have been repair shops that have come and gone. Some of them were very good. The ones that are left are very good. I have no hesitation.
Yeah. No, it's just...
Yep. And we posted a link a little bit ago about the Dell service locator that will find an authorized repair shop near you.
And that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
So head on over to the...
Because they might even have the parts...
putting that up on our website. That what's happening
It was
here?
There before. I'll pop it to the top.
Okay.
And they might have the parts right there, you know, especially batteries, if it's a wafer battery or something like that.
And even if they have to order it, they're an authorized Dell service.
And again, like you said, you got a face to look at if something goes wrong with it.
Yep.
Then you ordering it.
There used to be a big battery place in Henrietta.
Batteries, et cetera, or whatever it was called.
Yeah, batteries and bulbs.
Yeah,
something like that, yeah. And they were great because they had all kinds of stuff, but I think they're gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of those places.
A lot of them. After the... pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, and since you can't replace the battery in any phone anymore.
Yeah.
Well, starting in, is it July, I think, of 27.
27.
New EU law says that every electronic device sold must have a user-replaceable battery with common household tools. Phillips said screwdriver.
Right.
So everyone's going to have to either ask for an exception
right.
or redesign their phones.
Or now, stop selling in Europe, which
yeah.
ain't going to happen.
One of the reasons Apple said they stopped user-replaceable batteries is that they don't have to have all that battery retention mechanism, and so they make the battery bigger because of it.
Yeah, no.
But then they decided to they use glue strips to, you know, 3M very high adhesive bond, and that's a pain to get off.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler was yelling yesterday trying to replace a battery in an iPhone 11. They're not user replaceable, but Apple does have a end user repair thing. But don't do that. It's not that much cheaper than having the store do it, and especially if you're not used to a soldering iron.
Right.
But the older the adhesive is, the more it fragments and breaks up and is harder to get out. And then if you don't put the new adhesive on properly, it's not water resistant anymore.
Right. Doing your own repairs is a time-honored tradition, and I'm all for it. But if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it.
Yep.
It's that simple, particularly these days. Most phones, you know, the Nothing phone can be done. If you, there's the company that makes I forget what the name of the company is, but they make a laptop that comes in pieces.
Framework.
But beyond them, it isn't easy these days to take laptop apart, add pieces, remove pieces, change pieces.
We were joking about the new Lenovo ThinkPad. There's only 63 screws to take the keyboard off.
Yes.
And I was happy because the MacBook Neo is 40 screws.
Yep. Look at that. It worked. Well, okay. That music tells us we are done for another week. Let me just stop for a second and say that it warms the cockles of my heart to hear that some of you actually donated to this show during this emergency pledge drive. Thanks to each and every one of you. We all three of us appreciate it so much. And those three are Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and me, Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and we will be back to see you next week with a whole lot. No, we will not be back next week because it's 4th of July. We will be back, but not live. So we will be sitting around with our families. You will be doing whatever you do on the 4th of July, and we will see you in 2 weeks with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 plus times 2 hours.